Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor, and today we are going to take a positive spin on bankers, specifically just keeping with the little mini-series of being positive on dental-specific professionals. We're going to talk about why it is useful to use a dental-specific lender. Now, what I am going to do, two things as we get started. Number one, I'm not going to reference any specific bank. That actually probably makes this conversation a little hard because there are some differences inside of the dental lending world. But I just think maybe to be safe, to not talk about them in particular, maybe that's an episode for a different day. We're going to try to keep it to just dental lenders, non-dental lenders. The other thing is that we're also going to keep this a little generic. Sometimes what I'm going to say today is going to have more applicability maybe to a startup than to doing other types of loans. I'll just say right now, I don't know that using a dental-specific lender to acquire real estate is really, it's just a different conversation than using a dental-specific lender to buy a practice or to do a startup de novo office. So bear that in mind. We are mainly talking about getting money from a bank for purchasing a practice, buying into a practice, maybe buying into a partnership, doing a de novo office, satellite offices, things like that. And again, in keeping with this little mini series, a caveat, there are plenty of people out there wanting to give a dentist money. If you're listening to this, you already know that dental business is a little bit, for now, a little bit more reliable, a little steady as it is compared to other businesses at large, especially those who start up. So getting money isn't really that much of a challenge out there. What we're going to talk about is why you would get your money from a dental lender when other people may be willing to give you money. All right, so the first reason is probably the most important reason, things that make sense to everybody, and that's this: generally speaking, you're going to get better terms with a dental-specific lender. Now, if you think about banking, behind all the loans there are a bunch of spreadsheets. A bank is trying to be as efficient with its money as possible. And think about how banks make their money. They make it a lot of ways, but if I'm a bank and I'm a lender and I'm going to give out $1 million and I've got two businesses and I can only give it to one of them, in the business world, we're going to ask, well, what's going to be the rate of return? What if this business is only going to make 10% profit every year and this one's going to make 300% profit? As a banker, that does go into my calculation, but I don't get to profit from that. There are add-on concepts and ways I may be able to benefit from a growing business than a slow-growing business, but that's outside of our example here. The point is that I care about which of those is going to definitely pay me back. I'm looking for efficiency, the reliability of getting paid back for the money. I'm going to get a good rate of return and a reliable payback. And as a bank can develop numbers on the likelihood that they are going to get paid back in a particular industry, and there's a lot of industry data available to banks, but when you as a bank acquire institutional knowledge about how you are going to efficiently get that money back, that means you can take risk that another bank may not. And when you're doing this a lot and you can really, really hone in on who it is, I mean, even within the dental industry, you know which types of practices are the most reliable, which type of borrower is going to pay you back. That allows you to get even more efficient as a lender. And so, number one, we are seeing the terms, like the actual deal terms for you as a borrower, just significantly better. Specifically, we are seeing banks willing to lend more money. So in a startup context, first of all, this is really tough to find people to give you startup money that aren't dental lenders. But in an acquisition context, they're willing to give you a higher percentage of the value of that practice. Maybe one bank, maybe a dental lender, is willing to give you 80% of the value or 90% of the value, and a traditional bank or another bank would give you 40% or 60%. Generally speaking, we are seeing dental lenders more willing to amortize these loans at a much longer duration. So a quote-unquote regular, I'm just going to call them regular bank. So a regular bank gives you, you know, 5 years. That's the most they're going to give you to pay back this loan. Whereas a dental lender may amortize it at 10 years or in some cases 15. And then there's the rate. Because a dental lender understands what they're going to get back from you, they're able to kind of inch down that rate. Although I don't know that nominal rates there are exactly where you're really seeing the difference. I think there's some other key areas where we're seeing banks ask for stuff. So for instance, we're seeing local banks, community banks, things like that. They're wanting to see higher levels of security. They want your dad to sign on the loan as a guarantor. They want you to put a CD up for deposit, which may even happen in dentistry, but they'll want you to bring 10 or 20% of the cash to the table. They'll want you to use SBA as one of the lenders. There's just generally not as good of terms as we see from dental-specific lenders. And I suspect that for most of you, it stops right there. You've said enough, Joe. I'm going to use a dental-specific lender because I would rather use less of my own money. I want better terms. I want a lower payment, so therefore I want it amortized at a longer rate or longer duration. And that's true. But I want to point out what I consider at least as a valuable reason. And maybe this is just because this is what I deal with. But the other reason is that I think, in my observation, dental-specific lenders will virtually always get the deal done, whereas local community banks or banks who do not have a program for dentists, very, very sketchy record of getting the deals done. And this is what happened. Someone meets a banker at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. It's the local bank, and everybody wants to support local. I love local businesses. In my personal life, I try to utilize local businesses as much as possible. And I think a lot of people are the same, and they'll meet community bank loan officer over here, and they'll say, I want to help this guy. His son plays on my kid's baseball team, and I'm going to see if they can get me a loan. And remember, this guy, he's a salesman. He wants there to be a loan. And he tells you, absolutely, I can get you a loan. You're a dentist. You make money. This is a slam dunk for our bank. And no fault to that loan officer. But what happens is they tell you, yes, you can do that. You are only exclusively talking to this guy. And the deal starts moving along. And what happens are two things. First of all, that process for lending for them is less smooth. So they're going to ask for things, and you're like, why are they asking for that? They're going to ask more questions from you. They're going to require more data. They're just going to be more unfamiliar with this terrain, and it's going to be a bumpier ride. But the real problem is too many times what we're seeing is, remember, you're all making plans to acquire this practice. You think it's going to close in 2 weeks. And then their underwriters come back and say, actually, we can't do this deal because we don't understand it. And without getting too technical into banking, there are different models that banks use for approving a loan. Because remember, they need to get paid back. And if you can't pay back, they need to be secure into what they can do to take over, to collateralize. It's easy to think about it in the context of a house. If you're going to buy $1 million house and they give you $1 million, and 5 years later, you run into trouble, you can't pay it. Well, they'll take the house back, sell it, and they can get their money back. But in a dental office, first of all, the equipment, the hard assets, they're worth 20, 30% of the overall value of a practice. Then during this process, they realize there's actually questions about whether or not – They can even take back a dental practice away from you. They're not a licensed dentist. And in most states, this means that they're very, very limited, or the things they can take back is just the hard assets and they can't touch the dental records. And so they learn these things during this process, things that other dental lenders or dental lenders, they already know. They knew before you graduated dental school how to solve these problems. They have different ways of approving a loan because of these issues. And so too many times we've been put through this process where everybody's doing their job, and on the eve of closing, the bank comes back and says, we cannot fund this deal because it doesn't make sense for, you know, doesn't fit into our model. Or we took a vote and somebody on the board doesn't believe we should make this loan. And that happens. And that to me is just as important as the rates. If you got a good deal on the loan, but it turns to zero, then what good was the loan? So when clients ask us, hey, should I use a dental lender? 100% yes, every single time. Now, we're not afraid of a client maybe comparing notes with a local bank and saying, hey, I'm going to talk to these three banks, two of which are dental lenders and one is not. That's okay, because we have a safety net. And like I said, the thing that I am concerned about usually is not the rates, just because the rates and stuff like that, when you're using dental lenders, they're going to be competitive with each other. One bank A is going to be better than bank B, but there's not a huge difference. It's not a make or break situation. Whereas bank C, the non-dental lender, and if you're having to make monthly payments that are twice as high, yeah, that actually does put pressure on the client. Or if we know for a fact that banks A and B will lend because they're dental lenders and they're going to get this deal done, and if C drops out at the last minute saying, hey, we can't do this, that's okay, no big deal. We have a safety net. We can make this work. But if all you're doing is working with the local bank and it's a big transaction like buying a practice, so maybe I'm not talking about, you know, an equipment loan or something like that, even high amounts or like a rebuild, like a remodel, that kind of stuff. We'll see people pull out 100 grand, 200 grand. That's fine. That's not really what I'm talking about, where a seller may pull the deal if you can't get it done. We're saying when things are on the line and your life is being scheduled around a particular deal closing, then 100% of the time, I think, just based on my observations and my experience, you're going to want a dental-specific lender to get this done. And that's it. Hope everyone is staying safe. Hopefully the light at the end of the tunnel of this coronavirus business is getting a little bit brighter. People can go back to work soon. If you found the information on this podcast useful, we certainly appreciate positive reviews on whatever outlet you get your podcasts on. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.